Okay, boys, and today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. We're holding the second line from the top of the Omud. Omali Abayi Rav Yosef. Abayi asked Rav Yosef the following question. Bia v'mitzis, shmo bia oiloi. We're referring to the halacha that one needs to go and toivel. What halacha? What are you talking about? Yesterday's Mishnah, back on daf Lamed Omud Aleph, it says that any person who is entering into the Azara, even if he's not coming to do Avoida, just the fact that he's walking into the Azara requires him to go to the Mikvah. What did the Mishnah say? Ein Odom Nichlas La Azara La Avoida. Remember Rashi said, Lav Dafka Avoida. Afilu Tohar, even though the person is Tohar. Achir for you gotta go to the Mikvah. The guard says, did you go to the Mikvah this morning? No. Go right now. Go to the Mikvah. Why do you have to go to the Mikvah? Said the Gemara Machloikis between Ben Zoyme and Rabbi Huda. Ben Zoyme learned it from a Kal V'Chomer, Min HaToyra, Malch the Kohen Gadol, who was going from Mokim Kodesh to Mokim Kodesh. He was going from a Mokim of Onish Kores to a Mokim of Onish Kores throughout the day. Each time he had to go and table in the Mikvah. Certainly a person who's coming Mechoyl El HaKodesh Avad has to table in the Mikvah. That was Ben Zoyme. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not Min HaToyra, it's Midrabanan. What's the din drabana? Because anybody that's going into the Azara, we want to jog his memory. When the guard says to him, you have to go to the mikvah. I have to go to the mikvah? Why? Well, I didn't do anything. What's wrong? Mister, don't go and cause trouble. You got to go to the mikvah. So he's going to the mikvah. He starts pondering. You know what? He's right. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I touched an avela. I touched a dead sheretz. I did this, that, and the other thing. And I didn't go to the mikvah. You know, he's 100% right. And what's the din? Then he has to go to the mikvah and he will not be able to return to the Azara today because it's a tzvul yom, but he'll come back tomorrow. But the Maisa, what do you learn like Ben Zoyme that it's Min HaTorah? What do you learn like Rabbi Yehuda that it's Midrabanan? But you gotta go to the mikvah if you're going into the Azara. So Abayi asked of Yosef, what happens if you're not going fully into the Azara? Only your hands, or only your nose, or only your toes. Part of you is going into the Azara, but not the entire body. What's the din? Do you still have to go to the mikvah? Look at the fourth line of Rashi. Shmo bia. Le'inyan tvilazu. The tvil that we're talking about. V'tzorach litvon. In bo lahachnis echad me'evorav la'azara. He only wants to put in his hands. He only wants to put in his leg. Does he also have to go to the mikvah? Again, Amalia by the Rav Yosef. Bia b'mikseh shmo bia. Just entering into the Azar partially. Oy loy. Does that require a mikvah? Does it not require a mikvah? L'chari, the Gemara should go and ask a more fundamental question, and that is there a din of kares? Is there a din of isur? If a person enters into the Azara when he is Tameh, if he's only going in partially. Here the Gemara is talking about the remedy. The remedy is you go to the mikveh. Question is there in fact an Isur if a person were to go and just put his pinky into the Azara when he is Tameh? Is he over on the din of going into the base of Mikdash B'Tumah? If he did it B'Mezah, does he get Kares? If he did it B'Shogi, does he have to bring a Karbin Chatos? Our Gemara is only talking about the remedy, about the Tefillah. So, in fact, the matter is, in Masechet Zvachim and Daf Lamed Beis, in fact, that's the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara says over there, what about, is there an Isser Kares, is there an Isser of Tumah going into the base of Mikdash via B'Miktas? The Gemara concludes that, in fact, it's a Machloikis. One man the Yama holds you get Malkis, one man the Yama holds that you get Kares, etc. So the Gvuras Ari, which is the Shagis Ari, says, I don't understand why the Gemara is asking the same question, Legabi Tvila. L'chor, it should be Hof Baha Talia. It should be one dependent on the other. According to Mandiyama that holds it, in fact, it's an Isser of Kares, if you just put in your hand, your leg, your nose, whatever, into the Azara, which is a Bia B'Mitzvah, then of course you need Tvila for that. Once you are asking, do you need Tvila if you go in, if it's an Isser, if it's a Din of Tumah, of course you need to go to the Mikvah. If you were to hold a Bia B'Mitzvah, Lav Shema Bia, then you don't need to go to the Mikvah. So this is Shver, what the Gemara Shaila is, the Chayra Ha Toli B'Ha, and the Shagas Aryeh leaves it without an answer. So, Zokti Gemara. But Lamaisa Ar Gemara asked this question, do you have to toivel if you're only putting in one of your Avar? Amalei, so Rav Yosef says, I have a very simple answer. Let's go into the case of the Metzoyra. We know when it comes to the Metzorah, it's on his eighth day, he's bringing his Korbanos, because he's a Mechusa Kippurim, he's not allowed to enter into the Azara. But you have to go and put the blood on the Behoinos, on the thumbs. How are you going to accomplish that? Says the Gemara, Amalei Behoinos Yechicho Shehein Bia B'mitzis, Betanya Metzorah. Toivel, the Oimei Beshar Niknor, the Metzorah has to go in Toivel. Why does the Metzorah have to go in Toivel? He's only putting his thumbs in. He's only putting in his ear. But why does he have to go in Toivel? Ah, is the Chasimen, that even though you're only putting in your thumbs and your ear, etc., you still got a Toivel. Okay, so you have a Beferish answer to our question. Bia B'mixis Shma Bia, and you have the Toivel even just for the Bidas. Iboilahu, new question now. You have a person who is unfortunately Tamei, but he wants to do the Shechita. And he says to himself, I'm not going to go into the Azara, but I got a huge, huge Sakin. It's 20 feet long, and I'm going to go and Shecht from outside the Azara, and I'm going to Shecht away. Is there a problem? Does he have to go to the Mikveh? Yes or not? He's standing outside the Azara. But of course the Sakin is in the Azar and doing the Shechting. Is there an issue, yes or no? Says Yimar, Tiboyle Ben Zoyma, Tiboyle Rabban. We can ask the Shaila both according to Ben Zoyma. Remember, Ben Zoyma is the one that held him in HaToyra. You have to go in Toivu because of the Kal V'chomer from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And we can also ask, according to Rabban, which Rabbanan? We don't mean Rabbi Yehuda, we mean Rabbanan the Pligi Aleid Rabbi Yehuda. Who are the Rabban the Pligi Aleid Rabbi Yehuda? They're the ones that say that the Metzoyra is required to go in Toivel when he puts even in his Behoinos. However, a regular individual who says that he's Tohoir does not require to go to the Mikveh. Only the Mitzrayim, even the Mitzrayim are now Tohoir. They already had their Tiklachas, they already went to the Mikveh the day before, but nevertheless, they have to go to the Mikveh, but not Shar B'nei Adam. The Gemara says it's the Rabbanim that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only the Mitzrayim, but Kol Adam that goes into the Azara has to go to the Mikveh. So now the question is, both according to Ben Zoyma, that holds, yes, you always have to go to the Mikveh when you go into the Azara, and according to the Rabbanim that say, no, a regular individual does not have to go into the Azara as long as he is taught. If he's Tamei, of course, he's not allowed to go in. But even if he's tar, or not even, if he is tar, he makes a declaration, I hereby solemnly pledge that I am tar, he doesn't have to go to Mikveh. Ezok ti gemara, sif tiboy li ben zoyma, tiboy li rabbonan, de pligi alei de Rabbi Yehuda. Tiboy li ben zoyma. Ad kanu mechai ben zoyma, ele li gavoy. Ben zoyma is kal vachomer. Requiring every individual, even a tohoyer, to go to the Mikveh, because he learned it Kal V'chomer from Kohen Gadol, that's the Gavoy if you actually enter into the Azara. Av Lebroila, if he's staying outside the Azara, there's no Din the Torah, there's no Kal V'chomer, there's nothing. So he doesn't have to go to the Mikveh. He could Shecht with the long knife from outside. Oy Dilma, or maybe even Ben Zoyma would agree that besides the Din V'araisa, in this case, there would be a Din D'Rabbanan. What's a Din D'Rabbanan? Osi Liam Shuche. What might happen is that as he is shechting back and forth, guess what happens? His arm might get extended into the Azara. Not consciously, some consciously, not intentionally, unintentionally. But it's certainly likely to happen, because after all, how carefully can you guide your hand from 10 feet away when you're trying to go and shech an animal? So because of that Osi Liam Shuche, you know what? You gotta go to the Mikveh. Tiboy Rabban, we can ask a similar question to Rabban. The Pligalei Rabbi Yehuda. I'm kind of commander Rabban, Hassam, that you do not have to go into the Mikveh to Leka Ovid Avoida. The Rabban are talking about a situation where the person is going into the Azara. He pledges that he's Tahar, but he's not doing Avoida. In such a case, no, you don't have to go to Mikveh. Avalach, Leka Ovid Avoida, Loi. Over here, he's doing Avoida. And since he's doing Avoida, maybe he should be upgraded. And maybe the Rabbanu would hold in this case like Ben Zoyma, because Ben Zoyma is talking about a case of Aharon HaKohen that did the Avoidus, and he had to go five Tefillos in Yom Kippur. So, Kal V'chomer, for another person that does the Avoida, and he's going into the... Ben Zoyma doesn't require doing Avoida. Ben Zoyma says, as long as you walk into the Avoida, into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, you're chayiv tefillah. But maybe the Rabbanan might agree with an individual that's going to do the avoda, even if he's standing outside. Maybe he is required to go to the mikvah. Or maybe it's a rule across the board that according to the Rabbanan, you never have to go to the mikvah if you say that you're tar. Notice the Gemara does not ask the question according to Rabbi Yehuda himself. Right. Why don't we ask according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that you have this srach tvila, that anytime you're going in, you want to jog the person's memory, maybe, why does the Gemara ask according to Rabbi Yehuda whether he'd have to toivel if he's standing outside?
There's another question which seems they could argue about this. Why isn't this a minimum shear of a person's body that has to go in, or is it allowed or not allowed? Mm-hmm. Like we talk about a kazayas when we eat. Mm-hmm. It's not even brought up. Mm-hmm. It's almost a ridiculous conversation because they're not even trying to focus on a measurement of anything.
You ask a good question. Since the Gemara doesn't address the issue, and the Gemara says we'll learn it from Bahinus is rather small. We're only just putting in the thumb. Thumb is nothing major. It's not a leg. It's not a body. It's just a little thumb.
Even that amount.
So apparently, even a mashu, even a drop, even a little bit.
So
apparently,
that's the answer.
Yeah. But on this question, why does the Gemara ask the question, Alib and Rabbi Yehuda? So l'chayda, the answer is, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, this would then be, if you will, a gzeira l'gzeira, or a double drabban. What do I mean? Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees, or at least Rabbi Yehuda holds, that min ha-toyra, there is no requirement for a toyer to go and toivel before he goes into the azar. The only reason why we do it is midrabbanan, to jog his memory. Maybe efsha. So it's a drabban. Now we're talking about the person not even going into the azar. He's standing outside the azar. Well, he's tar. When you're outside the azar and you're tar, certainly you don't have to go and tar. Yeah, but maybe osilim shuche. Osilim shuche, but he's tar. So who cares osilim shuche? A tar person, min ha-toyra, is not required to go and tar. Yeah, but if Yehuda holds because of the srach, but he only holds that srach if you're actually entering into the azar, that maybe you want to jog his memory. This person is not even entering Zip, but he might be nimshach, he might extend his hand by accident, subconsciously, unintentionally. So that becomes, if you will, like a double drabban. The first chash is that maybe Itaki is tamei, I want to jog his memory. But here this person is not even going to the azar, but he might go into the azar. Oh, so therefore it's like a double drabban, and the Gemara doesn't ask the question of the contributor. Apparently the Gemara feels the contributor, we would not be concerned. But we do have a shad according to Ben Zoyman, according to Rabbanan, and the Gemara lives take. Okay, so we go back to the Mishnah now, and now we get into some of the nitty gritty, if you will, about the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Chomish Tvilos Lasora Kiddushin Toivo. 5 times he goes to the mikvah, 10 times in the Kaddish Adayim Raglayim. Each time when he changes from the Big Day Zov to the Big Day Lovin, Big Day Lovin, Big Day Zov, and so on and so forth. Tana Rabban. Chomish tvilois vasori kiddushin tuivel koyin gadol umekadish boi vayon. Vekulon bekoydish bebeis haparve chutz murishoyne shehoise bechol al gabishar hamayim ubetzad lishkosei hoise. So what the Gemara is telling us, what the Brice is telling us, is that the koyin gadol taka toiveled 5 times, but he didn't toivel each time in the same mikveh. The first time he toiveled on top of the Shar HaMayim. The next 4 times, he toiveled on top of the Gag of the Beis HaParva. Now you're wondering, why? I mean, after all, let him go to the same mikveh each time. Why does he have to go one mikveh and the other 4 in a second mikveh? So the Braisa tells us, in a very subtle way, because the Beis HaParva was Bakoidish. If it's Bakoidish, that means it was had the Kedushas Azara. You're not allowed to go into the Azara unless you're Agitoivulta, like we had from Ben Zoyma, like we had from Rabbi Yehuda. You want to go into the Azara, you have to be Getoivult. It's a catch-22 situation. I can't Toivul unless I go to the Mikvah. I can't go to the Mikvah because it's Bakoidish. I'm not allowed to go into the Kodesh unless I'm Toivul. So what do I do? So that's why the Braisa tells us, no problem. The first time he went to the mikveh on Yom Kippur was on the Gag of the Shar HaMayim. That Shar HaMayim it technically was bechol, it was still in the chol area, not in the kodesh area. So, no problem, he's allowed to go to the mikveh. Goes to the mikveh, now he's totally kodesh, he gets out of the shaar hamayim, and then he's able to walk into the azara and do all the avoida. But the next four times, he doesn't have to go out to the chol anymore, he might as well just stay in the kodesh, and he goes in toivot on the gag of the beis hapatra. Okay, so on, so far, so good. How did the Shaar HaMayim get its name? So you remember, we learned back in Masechet Shkolim that the Gemara gave us two reasons. Reason number one is because that's the place that they brought in the flask or the container of water for Nisuch HaMayim during Sukkot. They brought that from outside the Beis Hamikdash, I think from Meshiloach or wherever they brought it from, and they brought it through that Shaar to be able to go and pour the water on the corners of the Mizbeach during Sukkot. So that's one reason. Another reason that's given in Masechet Shkolim is because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a small trickle of water that would leave the Kodesh Kodoshim and would pass through the Heichal and into the Azara and then outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It started off as a small trickle and it kept on getting larger and larger. And then the Gemara quotes from Yecheskel that La'asad Loba, it's going to be such a huge amount of water coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be as huge as a large sea, as a large ocean, or at least a huge river. Tremendous. Mars even says a tzi adir, a Titanic, won't be able to go and go and float on that. Of course, the Titanic can't float anywhere because it sank. But the point is, even the sturdiest and the best ships won't be able to sail on that water that's leaving. And where it leaves the Beis HaMikdash is called the Shaar HaMayim. That's the name. Good. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Now, as we all know, most mikvois are built in basements or lower levels. They're not built on roofs. And the reason very, very simple. Because you want water, water goes down, water doesn't travel up. Okay, with pumps, it's a little bit easier, but of course if you use a pump, then you have a shaila of mayim she'uvim instead of make shalom. Okay, so normally you have water going down, not going up. So how can you go and toivel on top of the Shaar HaMayim, which of course is very high? How's the water going to travel? So Gemara tells us now that the water came from Ein Etam. Ein Ayin, of course, means a mayon, it means a stream, a spring. And that came from a place called Ein Etam, the spring of Etam. And that was even higher than the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, elsewhere it says in the Gemara that initially, when David and Melech, Shlomo and Melech, were building the Beis HaMikdash, they were considering making the Beis HaMikdash on the Har there in Ein Etam, because that was higher than the Har HaBayis. And then based on a pasuk of Bank Seif of Shochein, they decided to go and build it in Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. What's being safe of? That the Beis HaMikdash should be lying like the head lays on top of shoulders. Meaning, the head doesn't come out of the shoulders. At first it's a little bit submerged as a result of the neck going down a little bit, and then it comes up. So here too, you want that the Beis HaMikdash should be a little bit submerged and then come out. So the Ein Etam was higher than the Beis HaMikdash. How much higher was the Ein Etam? Says our Gemara, Amar Abai Yishmamina Ein Etam Gavoya Meikarka Azara. It was higher than the floor of the Azara. Esrim Mishalish Amis, 23 Amis. Where do we get this cheshbon of 23 Amis? Says the Gemara, very simple to not. Kol Apsachim Shal Yusham Goivan Esrim Amma Barachban Esr Amis Chutz Mishal Ulam. All of the Psachim of Beis HaMikdash were 20 by 10, with the exception of the Ulam, which was 40 by 20. And, as you recall, we learned not too long ago, because it was 20 by 10, when the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen, who was Seidef Es Sapara, he had to do it Noichach Penei Oil Moid. How was he able to see into the Oil Moid? So remember, we went through all the calculations, whether he could see directly through, or he had to go over the first shaar, the first opening, to be able to see. Exactly, to be able to go and see all the way into the Pesach HaHeichel. And we spoke about all the malis, that these were 12 malis, and therefore this was 6 amas. And then we had another 7.5, that made it 13.5, and then we had another 6, was 19.5. That's all great. And since the Pesach was 20, so you could see it. But Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says, don't forget the Duchan. There was a mala with a Duchan, and that was another amas. It was 20.5 amas. Anyway, so we discussed this already previously. So, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So now what our Gemara tells us is that the Pesach that of the Shaar HaMayim was like all the other Pesachim. It was 20 amos tall. And the Gemara is assuming now that the water that flowed into the mikveh on the gag of the Shara Mayim was obviously higher than the Pesach of the Shara Mayim, because by definition,
flow of water,
and the mikveh is on top of the Shara Mayim. So if the Shara Mayim happens to be 20 amos tall, so then we have to figure out how did we get to 23? Says Yimal Tanya. Barachas b'sor b'mayim the main mikveh. It says in the pasuk Barachas b'sor b'mayim Darshin the Gemara the main mikveh. Number one, we're talking about main mikveh, and then kol b'sorei. What means kol b'sorei? Mayim shekol gufay oyle behen, water that the entire body can go and squeeze in and can fit in. The kamehain. What's the? How much is that exactly? Alava b'roim gimel amos. The shear that the chachamim figured out was if you have the height of the mikveh, the depth of the mikveh being 3 amos, and then it's 1 by 1 length and width, 3 high. What's the din? Shir chacham me mikveh arboim soa, filling up that space is 40 soa, and that's the minimum shir of a mikveh, as is well known. But what do I see from this? That the depth of the mikveh has to be 3 amos. Aha. Okay, so add the depth, which is like the height of 3, add that to the 20 amos of the sha'ar, because every pesach was 20 amos tall. 20 plus 3 gets us to 23. Very, very simple chashmah. Frank Timur, 1 second. You're assuming the mikveh is directly over the lintel, the mashkov of the opening. After all, anytime you have a door, and then you have your mashkov, that lintel at the very top, on top of that you have to have at least another amu or two till you get to the ceiling, till you get to the roof. And this was on the roof. So don't you have to add another couple of amus? Frank Timur, but ika amatikra, the amamaziva. Amatikra means the roof for the ceiling, and the amamaziva means the shmirach that you had between the top of the shar, between that lintel and top of the mashko, until you hit the ceiling. In other words, you have to have at least another 2 amas above till you really have the roof, and then now you hit roof bottom, not rock bottom, but roof bottom, and on top of that you build your mikveh. So don't they have to add at least another 2 amas? Since all of the sha'orim, all the gates in the Mishmigdash were made out of shayish, shayish means out of marble, so they were very strong, they don't need that additional layer to keep the Pesach in place. The mashu, it was enough, the maziva met the tikra, 1 mashu, 2 mashus, that was already enough. And therefore you don't need a full-fledged 2 additional amas. But frankly, over ikra hech mashu, when we say mashu, means at least 1 inch, 3 inches, 5 inches, half an amma, epis. It wasn't just, you know, mikveh right on top of the shah. There had to be something. So why wasn't this mentioned in the brisa? After all, we have amsa. Since it didn't add up to an amma, that's why the brisa doesn't even mention. In other words, we're just going with whole numbers, we're not going with fractions. Therefore, instead of saying it was 23.2 amas, 23.3.4 amas, this is 23 in a lady. Okay, very good. So, Tumoravaita. When the Kohen Gadol went on top of the Shar Hamayim, and he went to the mikveh, they went and put up a sadin shilbutz. They put up, similar to a curtain, sadin literally usually means a sheet, of butz made out of bad, meaning made out of linen, thank you. And that would separate between the Kohen Gadol and between the Am, between all the people. What was the reason for that? The reason for that was for tznias. Now, bad, meaning the linen, the Gemara assumes, since the expression of butz means that it's white linen. Since it's white linen, that was the material that they used for the sad. Why do it have to be dafka white linen? You could have used blue cotton, or red wool, or gold, or something else. Vosep is sadin shalbutz. Maishna shalbutz. Zimor kid omer av kahana. Kidei shiyakir. Shavuida sayyoy me bigdei butz. Hachanam shiyakir. Shavuida sayyoy me bigdei butz. Rav Kahana is talking about a later Mishnah, which we're going to have another couple of days, which talks about the second, third, fourth, and fifth tvilois, which were on top of the Beis HaParva, which we spoke about briefly on the Omer Aleph. There too, it says Rav Kahana, or there too the Mishnah says that they had a sadin shalbutz to be a machitza between the Kohen Gadol and between anybody that might have seen the Kohen Gadol at the time that he is toiveling, or the time that he comes out of the mikveh, etc. And there too it says in the Mishnah that you have a sadin shalbutz. About that said Rav Kahana, Kedom Rav Kahana, Kedeshi Yakish, Avodah Siyem, Abigdi, what's the reason why the material of this curtain. It wasn't a plastic shower curtain, and it wasn't made out of wool, and it wasn't made out of cotton. It was dafka made out of linen and white linen. What's the reason why? So that it should be, again, to jog the memory, not really to jog the memory so much, but really to hit home to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol today is a big day. Every day of the year you only wear the big day, Kahuna Gedoyla, of the Shmoyne Begodim. Today you're going to be changing a couple of times from the big day Zov to the big day Lovin, back and forth. And therefore we want to remind them that the Avodis Hayoim, it's true he wore the big day Zov, but that big day Zov was not so much the Avodis Hayoim for Yom Kippur, it was for the regulars. In other words, when he went and shechted the Karban Tamid, he wore the big day Zov, because the Karban Tamid is a daily event. Yeah, yes, we do it on Yom Kippur too. But it's not because of Yom Kippur, we do it because we do it every day of the week. So that was Big Day Zov. But the Avodas Hayoyim, which was the Shem Yom Kippur, that had to be dafka done with Big Day Lavan. So today, to remind them constantly, remember, Kohen Gadol, today is a Big Day Lavan day. That's why you put up dafka, a curtain, a sadin made out of Big Day Lavan, so that he should remember. Number of Kana, Kadesh Yaakov, Avodas Hayoyim, Big Day Vot. Hakanami, the same thing applies to our Mishnah, Shiyakish, Avodas Hayoyim, Big Day Vot. Let's look at the Rashi, the third line from the top. Shavuidah Seyim B'Big Devot, so Rashi, Shiyesh Hayoyim Olav Avoida, to remind it that today we got big time, big term Avoida, Shiyim B'Big Devot, the Fisha in a Rogel, Lishores, B'Loi Shmoyne B'Gadol. The Kohen Gadol throughout the year, 364 days a year, or 353 days a year, he is Rogel to go and use the Shmoyne B'Gadol, which of course include all of the Zav, Yesh Mehen Shel Zav, Kigoyin, Tzitz, Choshev, Eifoid, Pamoyne Amil, etc. So, that's the Kohen Gadol's normal priestly garb. Today he's wearing, as an exception to the rule, the Big Day Lavan. We gotta remind him, don't forget, he put up the Sadin Shobut. Okay, Zog the Mishnah. Poshat Yorad V'Toval Olav V'Nistapik Heviuloi Big Day Zog. This is now the first of the five tefillahs. We already said back on the Amud Aleph, this first tefillah is done on top of the Shar HaMayim B'Choyl. So, to be able to tell you, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to be poshet. You got to remove your clothing, yorad, and then you walk down the steps, presumably into the mikveh, v'tovel, and then he toveled. Allah, he came out of the mikveh, v'nistapik. Nistapik means that he took a towel to go and dry himself off. Heviuloy, now they brought in the big days off, because that was the first avoda, was the karban tamid, that was the big days off. V'lovash, and he wore the big days off. He donned the big days of the kiddush of the veraglam, and now he did kiddush yodayim veraglayim. Now this is the first time we mention kiddush yodayim veraglayim. Normally, by every switching from one set of begodim to the other set of begodim, besides one tvila, there were two kiddush yodayim veraglayim. Here we only mention one. Why do we only mention one and not two?
It wasn't the first one.
I'm sorry, once again?
The first one, well, there wasn't a Kiddush Yodayim for the first, before, when it went from Big Day Chol to Big Day Kahuna.
That's correct. So because all the other four, there was a switch, there was a change of clothing from Kodesh to Kodesh, either Lovin to Zohav or Zohav to Lovin, but they were all Big Day Kodesh. So each time you had to have two Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim and one Tefillah. Here he's It's the first time he's wearing civilian clothing. For the removal of the civilian clothing, that doesn't require Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim according to our Mishnah. But we're going to talk about this at greater length in Yetz Hashem as soon as we start the Gemara, and Machloikis, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim will get to it shortly in Yetz Hashem. Okay, so now, he's wearing his Big Day Zov, he did his Tvila, his initial Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, and now Hevilo is a Tamid, they bring the Karban Tamid for the Kohen Gadol to Shecht. Kartzai, and he Shechted it. The reason why the Mishnah uses this strange expression, Kartzai, instead of Shechtai, because Kartzai has that meaning to it, that he didn't complete the entire Shechita, he only did Roiv Simanim. Roiv means at least 51%. Normally throughout the year, whoever did the Shechita did a full Shechita, the entire two Simanim, not just Roiv. Roiv v'yoytze b'di'evet, but chachili have to go and do the ganze Simanim. What's the reason why the Kohen Gadol did only partial, he only did Kartzai? Because the Mishnah continues on, u'meirik achar Shechita al-yodei, there was a backup assistant that finished off the Shechita as soon as the Kohen Gadol left the sakin, somebody took over and finished it off. Again, but why is that? Because kibbles hadam, we want that the kohen gadol should do all the avoiders of that day, and the first avoider right after the shechita, of course, is the kabbalas hadam. The kohen gadol would not be able to both shecht and do the kabbalas hadam. Exactly, as Ed says, it cannot be done simultaneously.
Why do you need someone to finish it? If he did ropes to manim, it's the animals geshacht.
Because you're supposed to do the full thing. Chachili, you're supposed to do
this. Do the b'diavad.
Okay, well, but if you have somebody else, okay. That's
okay. Well, that also sounds like it could be an interruption.
Harry Cody's always say it's a shahia. It's two people doing a shkita. It looks very very suspicious.
That's why that 7 days before we gave him all of the instructions and we had a
rehearsal. Okay.
Exactly. Preparation.
It's got to be choreographed so there's just one motion, even though it's too bad.
Absolutely. It was not easy. It was not easy. I wouldn't want to have the Kohen Gadol's job. It's difficult. And the Chafim HaSektarius is even more difficult.
Malika.
Exactly. Anyway, we didn't have to do Malika on Yom Kippur. Anyway, so getting back to all of this, says the Mishnah Vayta, after the Kohen Gadol did the Kabbalah Saddam, and they did the Halacha Saddam, the Zorka, and then he did the Zrika Saddam, and now we're done with the Dam part of the Avodah. Now he's bringing the regular. We're not talking about the ketores of Yom Kippur, right. The regular ketores that was done machtisa b'boik machtisa b'arav. Where do you do that? You do that in the heichel. So he went into the heichel. He's machtisa ketores lahetiv son menorahs to go and clean out the menorah. And after that, he returns and he comes back into the azara. And now he's makrav lahakrav esaroish v'esayvarim. Now to go and put the roish and avarim on top of the marocha, on top of the mizbeach. Why did he in the meantime do the ketores and the atovas and eros? Well, for very, very practical reasons. Besides, of course, whatever religious reasons, in other words, ever the inyanim of the masader in that seder. But after you do the shechita and the kabbalas adam, etc., somebody has to do the hector, the hefshit v'nituach. Somebody has to go and remove the hide, and somebody has to go and cut it into it. That the kohen gadol didn't do, because hefshit v'nituach is mutter even bizarre. It's not it's a priestly, a kohen dik avodah. Anybody can do that. Like we had last week, that Hefshet Nituach is Mutter B'Zak. So with that being the case, while the Kohen Gadol is going inside, being Makta the Ketores, made to the Sanerais, the people are working feverishly in the Beis HaMitbachayim to go and flay the Tomei Shul Shachar and to cut the Evorim and to clean out the Ker V'Kra'ayim, Yichatz Pamoyim, etc., etc. By the time the Kohen Gadol is out, now he's going to be Makta of the Roish and the Evorim, as well as the Chavitim. That's a special Kohen Gadol's Chavitin he brings every single day. So again, he's going to bring his Chavitin also half in the morning and half in the afternoon. The Yesayayin, he's going to put the Yayin out on the corner of the Mizbeach, etc., etc., etc. And now the Mishnah repeats briefly that the Ketores Shel Shachar Hoyse Kreivah Bein Dam Levar. Like we just identified a moment ago, that first we had the Avodah Sadam, and then after that we had the Aktores Aktores, and subsequently we had the Evarim. Why the Mishnah repeats it? Probably as an introduction to the next shikul, because Shobeinu Aboyim Bein Evarim L'Nesachim. There, Bein Aboyim, when we were mocked the Ketores, that was not between the Dam and the Evarim, that was between the Evarim and the Nesachim. That after they put the Evarim on the Mizbeach, before they did the Nisach Hayayin, then they had the Ketores Ketores. Why? Presumably we'll see more about this in the Gemara. And finally the Mishnah concludes, we're going back to the inyan that the Kohen Gadol has to toivel in the mikvah. The mikvahs in those days were not like the mikvahs today, since they were all rainwater. They didn't have any electrical heaters, so the mikvah was cold. If he was an elderly individual, or he was extremely finicky, and therefore, how can I go into a cold mikvah? Mm-hmm. They would warm it up. Now, how would they warm it up? Rashi says that they heated water from Erev Yom Kippur, and then presumably they covered it nicely to keep it insulated, to keep it nice and warm and hot, etc. And then on Yom Tov morning, on Yom Kippur morning, they would go and pour it. Rashi says they pour it into a chakak, binyan based tzvi lasi. Sounds like they didn't go and put it directly into the mikvah. That might be already a shaila of ma'ara from a hot water kettle into the mikvah itself. So apparently they did it by putting it from underneath or whatever, some sort of pipe or a stream that goes into the mikvah. They poured in the hot water, and this is why mecham lechamin umatil v'chatzoyne kadesh tofik tzinos. And the word tofik means to kind of to warm it up. It's not doesn't remove it. It removes the chill. It doesn't cause it to be really hot or warm, but at least it takes away the chill. So the Kohen Gadol, who is a Zaken Ristinus, shouldn't have to be concerned about being too cold. Okay, now we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. And remember when we spoke about the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that this is unique in terms of that the Kohen Gadol, when he is toiveling, is only one tvila and one kiddush yodayim v'raglayim. Typically there are two every time, and we already heard very authoritatively from Brother Shai a few minutes ago that the reason is because typically you're switching or changing from Big Day Lovin to Big Day Zov, or Big Day Zov to Big Day Lovin, and that requires the double Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But here we're going from Big Day Chol to Big Day Kodesh, and therefore you only needed the one Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for purposes of wearing the brand new Big Day Zov, but you don't need a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for removal of the earlier begotten. They repeated our Mishnah in front of Rapapa, and they added that L'chayr our Mishnah is Hod L'Loik Rameh. L'chayr doesn't stim with Rameh. The Rameh, Kivin the Omer Trei Kiddushe Alevisha Oved Lohu Hachanami Levit Trei Kiddushe Alevisha. Since Rameh holds normally, the reason why we do two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is because of Levisha. Not because of Pshita or Levisha, but because of Levisha alone. If that's the case, he was Lovesh, he went and put on the new begotten, so you should have to have two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim because of putting on the new begotten. Now you're wondering, where's this Rameh? What are we referring to? What is this all about? So Mietchim, we're going to learn this in another 2-3 days. If we want to turn just briefly to Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, we have a Mishnah there on the bottom of Lamed Dalid, 34b. Okay, got that? Good. What does it say there? Hey, v'yuhu lebeis aparva. Learning from the Mishnah, Lamed Aleh Mebeis. They took the Kohen Gadol now. This is now Tevila number 2, but it's Tevila number 1 on top of the Beis Aparva. U'bekodesh Hoysa, like we said before. Boris Hassan Shel But, Beinu Leveinu Om, to remind him that today you have to put on the Big Deal of him. So what happens now? So now this is the key to the Gemara's follow-up kasha. The Mishnah says, Kidesh Yodav Raglov, Uposhat. He was wearing until now the Big Day Zohov. He's about to remove the Big Day Zohov to be able to go into the mikveh and then to wear the Big Day Lovan. First thing he does, whilst he's still wearing the old Big Day Zohov, Kiddush Yodav Raglav, washes his hands, Uposhat, and he takes his clothing off. Rameir agrees to the Tanakama, however, with one nuance, and that is a switch, not Kiddush Adayim Raglayim first, and then the Pshita. Pshita means the removal of the clothing. But Rameir Oyma Poshet, first he removed the old clothing, that means the prior clothing, and now Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And then he did the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So, both agreed to the same. The only difference is, which came first? Not the chicken or the egg, but the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and then the Pshita, or the Pshita, and then the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And then the Mishnah continues on, now everybody agrees. At this time, he's already removed his clothing, either pre-Kiddush Adayim or post-Kiddush Adayim, but the Maisa, he's no longer wearing his clothing, so Yorat, he went into the Mikvah B'tova, all of it is topic. Hey, via my Big Day Lovin, he wore now the Big Day Lovin, because he just switched now from the Big Day Zov to the Big Day Lovin, and now, Lovash, they brought it to him, he dressed, the Kiddush Adayim Raglavin, he did his Kiddush Adayim Raglavin. So now, what's the reason why Rameir disagrees with the Tanakama, Legabi, the order of the first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? When the Tanakhama says Kiddush Adayim Raglayim first, and then the Pshita, and the Meir holds Pshita, and then the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So the Gemara assumes that the Machloikis is, what is the reason for the two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Clearly the second Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is in honor of, or is in preparation for, or is adjunct to the Levisha, the putting on of the new begotten. The question is, why do you do an initial Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before you go to the mikvah? So it seems like the Tanakhama holds that the initial Kiddush Adayim Raglayim was done because of the Pshita. And therefore, that's why you do it even before. It's like before you go to daven, you wash your hands before to do the pshitas habigodim. That's ulta psashtikla boide, if you will. You do the kiddush daven raglayim in honor of or in preparation for the pshita, the removal of the big days off. So according to Tanakama, the first one is because of the pshita. The second one was after he already dressed with the new big day loven, so that was the kovid the levisha. Tanakama, Rabbanon, one is for the Pshita, one is for the Levisha. The question is, what about Remeir? So it says in our Mishnah that he first took off the Begodim, and then he did the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the Gemara assumes, why would he do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim after he already took the Begodim off? After all, you wash your hands, L'mashal, before going to Daven, you don't wash your hands after you Daven. So it sounds like, says the Gemara, that this Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, even the first one, was in honor of the Levisha, not for the Pshita. Ah, so that's the core of the Machlokes. The essence of the Machlokes is the first washing was that preparatory too. And because of the significance of the Pshita, that seems to be Pshita according to the Rabbanan. What about Reb Meir? Is it because of the pshita that he just finished taking off the clothing? Or is it because he's soon going to put on the new clothing? And the Gemara assumes that since he already took off the old clothing, why is he doing Kiddush? Ah, so this must be two preparatory Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Both Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim are for purposes of the Levisha. That's what the Gemara assumes.
But according to Reb Meir, he's doing a tefillah. He's doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, then he's doing tefillah. I mean, it's kind of redundant.
Yeah,
it's redundant. If he's got now, according to a mayor, he does kiddush yadayim raglayim. Then he goes, he takes off his clothes, does kiddush yadayim, then he goes to the mikvah.
Everybody holds it. No, what you just said now is what the rabban holds. You do kiddush yadayim raglayim and then take off the clothes. The mayor says you take the clothes off first, then you do a kiddush yadayim.
And then he's yoreh v'tavel.
Correct.
Okay, so if he does kiddush yadayim raglayim, he's doing tefillah. If he skipped the kiddush yadayim raglayim, went straight to the mikvah, you know, yish l'cham asaymon at his hands.
Okay, so that's a question on the Kodesh Meir. It's going to everybody. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu Beroiv Chachmasoi say that every single time the Kohen Gadol has to go and do two Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? That he does a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim after the mikveh. That's somewhat similar to when we leave the mikveh, we get dressed, we come out, we wash our hands. Okay, so it does the same thing, I can understand. But what he did a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and right after that he goes to the mikveh, I mean, what's the reason for that?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. Maybe the Gemara will address it, maybe it won't. But Lamaisa, the Torah requires the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim pre-mikveh. That's a double pashta. The question is, why do you have the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? Is it because of the pshita, because of the removal of the clothing, or because of putting on the new clothing? That's the Gemara's question. Therefore, once again, the Gemara assumes it's a dover pashut, that as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is related to the Pshita, and the second one is related to the Levisha. And that's the reason why, according to Tanakhama, you do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before the Pshita, as like Ashtikal preparation, Achona, before you take off the clothing. But a mayor that says that you do the pshita first, and now you're doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So what's the point of that Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? So the Gemara assumes that a mayor requires two Yiddish Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for Levisha. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted, that every time the Kohen Gadol puts on new begodim, one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim first, and the second Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim afterwards. Okay, so you can tell me, what difference does it make? Aren't we just this is just sophistry? What's the nafkimina? Oh, there's a big nafkimina. Nafkimina is that first time when he switched from the big day chol to the big day kodesh. According to the Rabbanan, I understand why there was no preliminary kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. You know why? Because the pshita was of klichol, taking on and putting off the clothes every time that we go and change clothing every morning, every night. We don't have to go Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim from the Kiyar going to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course not. It's only when you put on Big Day Kodesh you have to go. Ah, so therefore, since the Chachamim hold that one Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim was for the Pshita, it had to be Pshita of Big Day Kodesh. The second one was for Big Day Kodesh. So the second one is good. That's why our Mishnah Lamed Aleph Amid Beis says there was the second Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, but there was no first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. No purpose. The pshita was in the chol. But according to the mayor, that holds that the purpose of the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the first one, was also for Levisha. No, it's crystal clear. He put on big days off. So he should have had to have two Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. One before the tevila and one after the tefillah, after he dressed in the big day zohot. The fact that our Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, which we're going to go back to in a moment, only refers to the second Kiddush Adayim, not to the preliminary Kiddush Adayim, is l'chayra raya to the Rabbanon against Reb Meir. Because if Reb Meir holds it every time there's a Levisha, you got to have two Kiddush. Well, there was a Levisha now. He put on the big days off. So why don't you have that preliminary, that first Kiddush Adayim Raglai? Is the haraya that the Mishnah goes like the Rabbanan and not like the Meir. This is the Ganzi Shakla Bataria, getting back to Lamed Aleph on the days. Amru Rabbanan, we're right after the Mishnah, Lamed Aleph on the days. Amru Rabbanan, Kabin Rapapa, Hotel Kramir, our Mishnah. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off, Poshat Yorad Vitoval. What happened to that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? There's no other Kiddush Adayim Raglayim pre-Poshat. There's no Kiddush Adayim Raglayim post-Poshat. It's just Poshat. Yorad V'Toval. So according to the Rabbanan, it's not Shver. Because according to the Rabbanan, the whole purpose of the first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim was because of the Pshita. Well, here there's no Big Day Kodesh. It's just Big Day Chol. On Pshita's Big Day Chol, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't require a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Just like whenever you think of your big day chol, you don't have to go and do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But according to the Meir, that it seems to be that the reason why you have that initial Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is for the Levisha. No, so why didn't you have Poshat, Kiddush Yadav Raglav, and then Yorav Etava like we had in the next Mishnah on the Lamed Dalit? Is Hotolei Kramei, the Kramei Kivri Omar, Trei Kiddushi, a Levisha of Idlahu. He does two Kiddush Adayim Raglayim because of dressing. Is the Chayra Misha doesn't call according to Reb Meir. Rapapa said it to his Talmidim, to the Ahum Rabbanon, and he said to his Talmidim, no, you don't have to say that. You have no conclusive riot. It could be our mission is Bein Rabbanon, Bein Reb Meir, Chad Hapshita, Jei Kodesh, V'chad Alevisha. Good Mechodesh, great to see you. Bein Rabbanon, Bein Reb Meir, Chad Hapshita, the Big Day Kodesh, V'chad Alevisha. Could be the Reb Meir also agrees to the Rabbanon that the first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is related to the Pshita. So then you ask the Kasha, if that's the case, why are we doing the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim post Pshita? We should do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim pre Pshita. The reason is because we have the following machlokes. The machlokes has to do with a very, very simple series of psukim, how we dash in that. It says in the psukim, Ufarshat, Verochatz, Velovash. Now it doesn't say these three words one after the other. There are a whole bunch of words in between. If you look up the Torah or HaShalem, he gives you the entire series of psukim, the two psukim together. Number one, Uvo Aral Oil Moin, Ufarshat as Big Devot. It says Ufarshat, Pshita. Ashalovash Bavoila Koidish Venicham Shab. So it's Pshita, Levisha, and Verochatz Psor Bamayim, and then he washes. B'mokum Kodesh, B'lovash is begotten. Ah, forget about that first lovash. I made a mistake. Just Ufarshat is Big Diabod, that's Pshita. Then it says, next pasuk, Verochatz. And then after it says, V'lovash is begotten. Okay, so we have these three terms, one after the other. Pshat, Rochatz, V'lovash. The Meir Sava. Makish Pshita Lilavisha. We're going to make a hekish, we're going to compare Pshita Lilavisha. Ma Lilavisha Loivish Viachach Makadish. Everybody agrees that he does the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after he is already dressed. Afshita Poishit Viachach Makadish. So too, here too, we're going to do the Kiddush Yadayim after the Pshita. Just like we do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after the Lilavisha, we're going to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after the Pshita. Pshita poish v'yachach makadosh. That's the Meir. V'rabbanan zavri makish pshita levisha. Ma levisha kishu lovush makadosh. Just by levisha, you're makadosh daim raglayim when you are already dressed. Pshita kishu lovush makadosh. By the pshita you do kishu lovush makadosh. It's also talking about when he is still dressed. So that being the case, the machlokes has nothing to do with preparing before the pshita, preparing after the pshita. What the Gemara is telling us is it's based on these three words together, how you makish pshita levisha. Rameir dashes one way, Rabbanan dashes the other way. But it could very well be that Rameir agrees that even the first kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is related to the pshita, just like the Rabbanan learned. And therefore, our Mishnah that says that there was no initial kiddush yadayim v'raglayim could go according to both Rameir and and Rabbanan, because they both agreed that the first Kiddush was not on the Levisha, but it was on the Pshita. And here there's no Pshita, that's Mechayiv, a Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim.
But in this Pasuk it says, the Pasuk has Bidei Habad, so he's already wearing Bidei Bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about his Bidei Chol.
We're not talking about the first one, we're talking about already the second or the third.
Third, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Okay. I agree with you. Not the second, because the second one we went from Bidei Zog to
Bidei Bad.
Exactly, but the drush has come based on these Pasuk.
Okay.
Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so based on this, the Chayra Pop is right. The Mishnah can go according to both of them. By the way, for all those of you that have been thinking throughout the time over here, let's think about this according to Remeir. Remeir says, you're poshut, you take off the begotten first, then you mekadesh yadayim raglayim, and then you go into the mikveh. Now you're thinking probably to yourself,
he's
not wearing any clothing, right. He has to run to the kiyor without clothing, he's going to wear a towel around himself.
He's got a keto on a mayim or something.
So that's the answer. Shkoyach. So a mishnah we're going to see later on, a mishnah, I believe it's Mem Gimel Amud Beis, that all the kiddush yadayim raglayims, if you look at Mem Gimel Amud Beis, about 6 lines to the bottom of the amud, that says 7 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, B'chol Yoyim, 6 lines before the end of the Mishnah, B'chol Yoyim Koyin Godu Mekadosh Yod V'Raglim Min HaKiyah V'Hayoyim B'Ran Yom Kippur Min HaKitayim Shel Zohav Yud Oyim Ad Oyim Koyin Godu Mekadosh Yod V'Raglim Min HaKiddush Shel Zohav. Every day, not just Yom Kippur, throughout the year. But Kuli Yom Amoy that on Yom Kippur is Kiddush Shel Zohav. So we don't have the problem now. Yeah. He went back up to the base of Parvot and he's there on top. He's getting ready to go to the mikveh. He takes off his clothing before going to the mikveh. First, his gabbai or whoever, maybe here on the table, is lying that kiddush shows up. He washes his hands, and then he goes into the mikveh, toivels, and then he comes out. So you don't have this problem of having to run back and forth without clothes. Kiddush shows up is there on the spot. Okay, anyway, beginning back to our Gemara now. So the Choyer Rapopis Pshat is a beautiful Pshat. Homily Rabbanu Rapopis. And now the Talmid Rapopis say, yes. Robin, you have a question.
What's the logic that he has to be Mekadesh Yod V'Raglim in order to enter the mikveh? He's entering from a Kedusha Kala to Kedusha Chamura.
Yeah, that question.
Yeah, that was Barry's question. I don't know that there's any logic whatsoever. It's all based on how you dive in these psukim. Where a mayor says, I have the hekish of Shita Lulavisha. The Malavisha Loivish Ve'achkach Mekadesh, just like everybody agrees that you have to go and do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after the Levisha, Afshita Poishu Ve'achkach Mekadesh, after you finish the Poishu, then you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Exactly. A Kiddush Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom required it. Regardless of whether you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you take off the clothing, or after you take off the clothing. He's going to the mikveh next minute anyway. It's just a question of sequence. Why Kiddush Baruch Hu required it? Send the message up to Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you get an answer, let me know. Maybe the Gemara will give some logical answer, but it appears to be just...
The first tefillah was at the Raisa, was just a Seder. Right? The first one, the Kohen Gadol goes outside.
Right? The on top of the Sharamayim.
Right.
But that wasn't...
Maybe because of Kodesh. In other words, if you go through... Maybe it was because it reminds him...
Before you continue on,
I don't think he can.
That's not on Yom Kippur. Right. That's throughout the
year. I don't think the Kohen Gadol after 7 days of seclusion is any reminders.
Maybe you want to say Svara. He was trying to remind him that it's not just going to be a stump to our throat. There's a deep purpose to the mikvah.
He should realize that these are very, very tense, very holy moments. Very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, Rabbanan asked Rapapa, you just gave a beautiful pshat, Rapapa, but we got a problem. Can you say that our Mishnah, in fact, is unanimous, both Remeir and Rabbanan? For Tanya, let's see a braisa. And this braisa is relating to the first tevila on top of the Shara Mayim, as you'll see momentarily. What did it say in the braisa? Again, they put up for privacy for tznius. They put up this curtain in between. Poshat, he took off his first clothing, meaning the big day chol. The yored the toval. Notice it doesn't mention anything about a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So in that sense, it's word for word like our Mishnah. Poshat, Yorad, Toval, Olav, and Estapik. By the way, we didn't talk about in this topic. Why does the Mishnah even have a tzitzis? It is the double poshet. He went out. It comes out of Mikvah. Of course, he's going to dry himself. Right. Why does it have to?
Well, maybe this.
So it says in the Rishonim that the reason is because we don't want it to be a chatzitza between his basar, between his skin, and between the begotten. What type of chatzitza?
So
some
water.
Say the water itself would be a chatzitza. Some say that maybe part of the mikvah, maybe there's a drop in the mikvah, was a little bit dirty or whatever, and then maybe he'll get a little bit of dirt on his body, a little shmutz. And therefore that shmutz is going to be masik between one or the other. Others say that maybe the shmutz is not going to be on the body as a chatzitza, but after he puts his clothing on, maybe it'll be absorbed into one of the begodim, and then the begodim will be meluchloch, will be dirty, and a kohen is not allowed to go wear any begodim which are meluchloch and which are dirty. So, there are a number of reasons why it says we're stopping. Fine. So, beginning back to our Gemara, what does it say again in the beginning of the Braisa? It doesn't mention a word about Kiddush Adam Raglai, it just says Poshat. Yorat, Tovel, Ola, Nistapik, Hevilai, Big Dezob, Velovash, Vikini, Shad, Velaglob. Like our Mishnah, word for word. Remeir, Aimer, No, Parshat, Vikini, Shad, Velaglob, Vyorat, Vetovel, Ola, Nistapik. Now you see clearly we're talking about the first time, because if we're talking about the second or third, everybody agrees that there was a Kiddush Adam Raglayim at the time of the Pshita. Whether it was before the Pshita or after the Pshita is a machlokes. But there's a Kiddush Adam Raglayim. How can the Tanakhama just say Parsha V'yorat? Is the Charai, we're talking about the first Tevilah. And by the first Tevilah, the Tanakhama says only one time Kiddush. Remeir said, oh, no. Parshat, V'kiddush Adam Raglayim, V'yorat, V'tovel, all of this topic, V'yorat, Big Day, Love, V'lovash, V'kiddush Adam Raglayim, again. What's stuck in the Svar of Remeir? Because Remeir holds it's not a din of by Pshita, because it had to do with the din of Pshita, it's Big Dechol. For Pshita, Big Dechol, you don't have to do a Kiddush Adam Raglayim. But it's like we said at the Havamina, that Remeir requires two Kiddush Yodayim V'raglayim plus one Tevila, every time that he puts on Big Day Zov or Big Day Lovin, regardless of what he was wearing before. I know he's wearing Big Day Chol. Who cares? Because the Levish itself requires two Kiddush Adam Raglayim. So clearly, our Mishnah can't go according to the Meir. Because if we go according to the Meir, why does it mention that first Kiddush Adam Raglayim? So when the Rabbanan told this to Rapapa, Amalahu, Itanyata, Hasishteta, Hasishteta, I'm stuck. I mean, without this braisa, my pshat was a beautiful pshat. But now that there's a pshat braisa, I withdraw. Says Imar, we have now a shtickle problem with the arithmetic. What's the problem with the arithmetic? We have to have 10 Kiddush Yodayim V'raglayim altogether. It's Bishlam and Rebbeinu Hanan Mishkat Haslo Asar Kiddushin, because the first time we'll also had two. But El Rabbanan Tisha have there only 9, right? We just went through the braisa and the Mishnah. There's only one Kiddush Yodayim V'raglayim. The next 4 will have 2 each, so there's only 9 altogether. Amri lecha rabbanon kiddusha basra ki pasha big day kodesh v'lavish big day choil ovid lehasam. What about the sixth time? What do you mean the sixth time? When he's finally taking off the final big day kodesh, he doesn't have to tovel anymore because he's just going and taking off the big day kodesh. He's not putting on new big day kodesh. This is the final time he took out the kafu machta. Everything is completed. He's taking off the big day zov, and now putting on his shtreimel and his bekesha, it's all over. So now the question is, kiposhet, big de kodesh, the last time. The love is big de chol. So according to Remeir, you don't have to do anything more, because according to Remeir, the only reason why you're doing is two for Levisha. There's no Levisha over here. The Levisha is big de chol. That doesn't require a brand new kiddush adam raglayim. But according to the Rabbanan, that one is for pshita and one is for Levisha, here he's also doing a pshita of big de kodesh. Therefore, for the host, and that's when he does number 10 of the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Good.